verses 14 through 17. And would you please stand out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God? Listen to the word of Christ. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Father, we stand amazed in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we recognize and know that your promise is true, that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, then he is in the midst of them. And so, Father, we know right now that as we gather and assemble, that our Lord Jesus is here through the Spirit. And Father, we pray this morning that we would not hide from him. Father, we pray that we would not run from him. But Father, we pray that we would hear his voice, and his voice would call us to life. We ask this to his glory and in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The creepiest sound I ever heard in my life was nothing at all. My wife Maria and I were walking into a Russian orphanage on the first of two trips to the former Soviet Union to meet two boys to whom we had been directed to adopt as our sons. We'd never seen them. We didn't know all that much about them. But when we walked into the doors of that orphanage, the thing that struck us right away was not the stench, although it was overpowering. I had to resist the urge to walk outside and vomit. It wasn't the squalor of the walls cracking apart and the dilapidated building, although that was awful. The thing that struck me right away was the silence. I said to Maria, "Will you just listen for a minute? The place is completely still and quiet, and there are babies everywhere." As you walked up and down the halls of that orphanage, room after room after room of toddlers and infants, but there was not a cry. It was almost like the Christmas carol that we sing. All is calm, all is bright, no crying any of them made. And it slowly dawned on me that what had happened was that you have an institution full of babies without mothers, without fathers, who are learning that when they cry, no one is going to respond. And so a baby learns, if he is hungry or distressed or alarmed, that when he cries out, when she calls out, if that happens enough, they will stop crying. And so all that you heard in this orphanage is the sound of cribs rocking and hitting up against the walls as infants comforted themselves in cradles. And every day for a week, my wife and I would walk into a room where we found these two little Russian boys. And every day we would play with them and read with them and tell them, even though they couldn't understand us, that we would come to get them and they would be our children soon. And every day we would leave, and we would leave to silence until the last day of that trip. Maria and I were told, it's time for you to go, and you're going to have to leave these boys behind, and you're going to have to go back to the United States, and you're going to have to wait for all of the paperwork to be done, and you're going to have to leave now. And we said, can we have 5 more minutes with these boys? They said, you can have 5 more minutes. And we hugged on them, and we kissed them, and I said, we will not leave you as orphans. We will come to you. And we walked out of the door. And as soon as we walked out of the door, one of those little one-year-old boys, little Maxime, whose name now is Benjamin, fell face first into that crib filled with excrement and waste and screamed. It was the most beautiful sound I have ever heard. Not because of his agony, and not because of his sense of abandonment, but because in that scream, he recognized us as his parents. He knew that we would hear. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul says is happening in the life of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ when through the Holy Spirit you cry out, Abba, Father. Too often we have sentimentalized this word, Abba, because it's the first two syllables that a baby would have learned in the ancient East. It's those two syllables that a baby would have put together as he is looking into his father's face. And in the same way that a toddler now might just start babbling off and suddenly he comes to dad, 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 dad. And then he starts to put that together with the person who is his daddy. An infant would have done Abba, Abba, Abba as he is looking to his father. But the issue here is not a cooing, it is not a babbling. Paul says that it is through the Holy Spirit that we cry, that we call, that we scream, Abba. And that is precisely why the issue of adoption and the issue of orphan care is not about a special interest group in this congregation. The issue is not about helping infertile children to have infertile families to have children or families with children to have more children. The issue is about the gospel and mission of Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, that what the Apostle Paul is telling us here about the Abba cry is about the Abba cry and the Christian gospel. He says, if to this congregation at Rome, if you are being led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. Now, let me tell you why that was so important in that congregation. Because you had people in that congregation at each other's throats as to who were really the people of God. Who were the ones who were going to receive the inheritance? Who is the Bible talking to when it promises everything in the gospel? And Paul says, I'll tell you who it's talking to. It's talking to those who are the sons of God. And who are the sons of God? They are those who are in Christ. And who are those who are in Christ? They are those who share his spirit. And so it is not determined by the flesh. He says you can't determine this by genetics. You can't determine this by bloodlines. And if you do, you will die. If you are walking according to what seems visible to you, if you are walking according to those things that in your flesh you crave, then the end result is simply hell. He says, but if you are in Christ, then you have received the adoption as sons. And he is speaking to everybody in that congregation. Both Jew, he says later, you Jewish people, you have received the adoption. Abraham, after all, wasn't a natural born child of God. He was adopted out of pagan Ur. You Gentiles, you uncircumcised, pig flesh eating Gentiles, you, when you come to believe in Christ, you have received the adoption as sons. It creates a unity in that congregation, and a unity that is not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I do not have any adopted children. People will ask me often, now, which ones are the adopted ones and which ones are the biological children or the natural children? My response is usually, oh, I can't keep up. But the real issue is that adopted is not an adjective. In Scripture, adopted is a past tense verb. We have no adopted children in this congregation. We have many children who have been adopted. Just as God does not see you as my adopted child, he sees you as my child that I love, in whom I am well pleased, and he explains how you got here through adoption. I have a child, Jonah, who was born 3 weeks premature. That's no scandal. I don't mind that he was born 3 weeks premature. I don't mind if you know it. I don't mind if he knows it. But he is not defined for the rest of his life by the timing of his birth. I don't introduce, and this is my son Jonah, our premature son. He's our son, and this is how he got here. And Benjamin and Timothy are our sons who came in through the process of adoption. Paul says to the church at Rome, it doesn't matter how it is that you arrived here. The point is, you were all orphans. You were all headed toward death. You were all away from any kind of an inheritance, away from any kind of identity. And what God has done through the Holy Spirit is he has sent Jesus to become an orphan for you. Jesus walked where you are walking right now. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went to that crucifixion stake where he is screaming out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are some of you in this room who are orphans. And maybe one of the things that hit you is that you wonder, whatever happened to my birth parents? Or why did my dad leave us when I was in high school? Or why did my mother die? Why am I left here? How can I figure out who I am? The scripture says Jesus walked there too. There are others of you in this room who don't have a relationship with your heavenly Father. Jesus stood in that place and was counted as abandoned by God for you. Paul says, that is the gospel. You have received this adoption as sons. And what this means is that you are no longer in fear. You are no longer, he says here, slaves. You are no longer abandoned, but you are now sons. There are people in this room who may sit here right now and say, if they were to project on these screens what I have done, people in this building would run out the doors. God is not taken by surprise by that. And if you are found in Christ, God's response to you is not simply, well, I'm not going to send you to hell. God's response is, behold my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. You receive the adoption as sons. And he says, how do you know that? He says, because the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. You are groaning with the universe around you, knowing that everything is not the way that it is supposed to be, and you know who to cry to. You know who to plead with. You know who to look to. And Paul says sometimes that is even with groanings that are too deep for words, when all we can do is scream out, Daddy! I don't know if you've ever been with somebody when they receive the call that their child has been killed, when they receive the call that their spouse has been killed. But sometimes there will be a kind of primal scream that comes out of people's vocal cords that is eerie, that you can never hear anywhere else. It is a scream of utter desperation. Bible says that through the gospel, we through the Spirit are joining with Jesus as he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, deliver me. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you have received that, and the Spirit, he says, is testifying with your spirit that you are the children of God. That doesn't mean that the Spirit is making you giddy. Sometimes we think that what that means is that the Spirit turns you into a really, really sappy spiritual kind of person. The kind of person that whenever you're asked, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Wonderful. That's not what he's saying. He says the Spirit testifies with your spirit, and how do you know? You cry, you scream, Abba. That's what the Spirit does. He points you to your deliverance in Christ. He points you to your inheritance in Christ. You are joined with Jesus, who just like a child stretches out his hands in crucifixion and in identification with you and cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That is adoption. If you are following Christ, that has happened to you. But it's also not just the church's gospel, it's also the church's mission. Paul is writing this letter not just to explain the gospel, but so that the church will join Jesus in his mission as the children of God. He says, therefore, you are to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Jesus hears. He doesn't just cry out, Abba, Father. He hears the cries of Abba, Father. Jesus loves orphans. That's the reason why throughout the scripture, the Bible says if you want to know if you have faith if you care for widows and orphans in their distress. And Jesus tells you that if the Holy Spirit is working within you, the way that you know that the Holy Spirit is working within you is that you recognize Jesus. And Jesus says, where am I? I am in the least of these, my brothers and my sisters. A congregation that has received the adoption as children of God is going to be with Jesus seeking to rescue those who have been abandoned or cast away. Satan hates babies. The satanic powers wish to grind children to dust, and they don't care whether they do it through abortion or through a divorce culture or through AIDS or through malaria or through economic collapse. As long as children are destroyed, the satanic powers are not reminded anymore that they are being defeated through the cry of an infant in Bethlehem. What happens with the church is when we are joining with Christ in this mission of taking Christ to the nations, we are listening to the cries of the brothers and sisters of Christ. We hear them when the rest of the world doesn't hear it. Right now, in downtown Louisville, there are garbage bags marked medical waste that are filled with the bodies of the little brothers and sisters of Jesus. Right now in Thailand, there are 10-year-old girls waiting in a room to be raped by American businessmen who have paid $10 to be able to do it, and they're the little sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, there are young men in Russia, young women in Ethiopia, young children in Alabama and Indiana who are waiting in group homes or in foster care or in orphanages, and they are getting older and they are getting more and more desperate. Will I ever have a family? Will I ever have a father or a mother? They are the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the scripture says is if you want to know whether or not you are following Christ in a pure and undefiled religion, the answer to that is not how many hymns you tear up to. The answer to that is not how many theological propositions you know. The answer to that is how do you listen when you hear the Abba cry of infants and widows and children. The adoption mandate is the mission of God. Not everybody in this congregation is called to adopt children, but many are. But everybody in this congregation is called to rescue the fatherless. Everybody in this congregation. It is not a matter of whether or not you leave here asking, is God calling me to orphan care? It is a question of how is God calling me to orphan care? There are some of you, particularly some men in this congregation, that God is calling to lead in spiritual warfare by going home, taking your wife by the hand, and saying, honey, we are going to wrestle with demons by seeing whether or not the Lord is calling us to adopt a child or children. Some of you are being called to do that right now. But there are others of you in this congregation that God is calling to use your resources. Whether that resource is being able to babysit with families while they're adopting, or whether it is taking the money that God has given to you and using it to help couples and families in this congregation adopt and rescue children. God has given Kevin Ezell a vision like no other pastor I've ever seen. God has put people like Tara Melber in this congregation with vision like none I have ever seen. God has put in our congregation the ability for you to do that like in almost no other place on the face of the globe. How is God calling you to respond and to hear to the cries of the orphans? Because he is calling you to do that. The only way Maria and I could adopt, because we were completely impoverished, literally. And I had never taken a dime from anybody and was never going to take a dime from anybody. Everything we had, I'd paid for. I had an old Subaru that could make it 1 mile and 1/4 of a mile before it had to stop and have water poured into it. So what we drove. We had a couch that we had bought from some recovering hippies right out of a commune on their front porch. I think it was still embedded with marijuana smoke in the couch. I'm pretty sure I have been high preaching before just from the fumes of that thing. We didn't have anything. But a young man came into my office from another state. He said, I know that you all are adopting a child. He said, I've got an inheritance that came to me from an aunt or grandmother, somebody who died. He says, $10,000. He says, we were going to use it for a down payment for a house, but I'm giving it to you. I want you to use this as you are adopting these children. I said, oh, brother, I appreciate that so much. Bless your heart. Such a wonderful testimony, but we're not going to take that money because, you need to use that. You use that on your house, and the Lord will provide for us. He said, first of all, the Lord is providing for you. Here I am. Secondly, it seems to me, and forgive me for rebuking you, but it seems to me like maybe the issue is that you're too prideful to receive money from somebody else. And if God's going to bless you, you're going to have to crucify your pride and be helped. He said, all I want is to get a Christmas card with a picture of those boys on it every Christmas, and for you never to tell anybody who I am. He had to work to find me to be able to help me in order to rescue orphans. We have in our congregation the mechanism already there where all you have to do is to write a check or to call the adoption ministry and say, get me involved in orphan care, help another couple with the way that God has blessed us. We're not going to take a trip to Disney World this year because we want to see some orphans become beloved children. And you can participate in the mission of Christ in hearing the cries of the orphans. All of us are called to that. And as we do that, we are picturing the gospel itself. There are children right now in this congregation, including mine, who would have never heard the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who are now running all and around six campuses of Highview Baptist Church, singing words that I wonder if we even understand. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. When the satanic powers see in our congregation African-American mothers kissing little white babies that are their children, and Hispanic mothers kissing little black babies that are their children, when he sees children that the rest of the world would say, you are worth nothing to us because you have cleft palates or you have AIDS or you're too old to be received and adopted, when Satan sees that, what he sees is the testimony that he is being destroyed. So why on earth would we not all join together in crushing the serpent's head through the gospel of Jesus Christ through orphan care? I'll never forget the quietness of that orphanage. And I remember it sometimes when I complain about how loud my house is. And there are times when I'm trying to do something or think about something, and I'll have the words being yelled out, Dad, look at this. Dad, look at the Lego I just built. Dad, I just fell off a bicycle. Look at this bruise. Dad, come out here. And sometimes my first response is to say, will all of you please get quiet? And then I remember it was quiet. It was very quiet in my house. It was very quiet in that orphanage. It's very quiet in the neighborhoods all around us and all around the world. And yet it's not. Because if you listen with Galilean ears, you can hear right now babies and children and widows, and orphans. It may be you. It may be, since the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything by accident, you're here for a reason. And maybe what you're here today to hear is that there is a Father who is welcoming you and ready to receive you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be that you say, I don't know if I would be received. I'm not really a church person. I've got piercings, or I've got tattoos, or I've got a really, really rough past. All of us do. Jesus will receive you. And it may be that there are others of you in this congregation that need to listen as you scream to the screams of the orphans around the world. Do you hear it? They say, Abba. Do you? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? There are some of you in this congregation that the Holy Spirit is calling to cry out for a father. And the issue is not whether or not you've got the right pedigree or whether or not you've performed in all the right ways. It doesn't matter what kind of background you are coming with. If you will simply say right now where you are, Father, I believe that Jesus was crucified for me, and I believe that his blood is enough to pay for my sins. And I believe that you have raised him from the dead, and I believe that you will have me. Please have mercy on me. I guarantee you there will be a Father who will hear you right now. Come to Christ. There are going to be people up here after the service is over who are willing to share with you what it means to come to know God as Father through Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place without talking to one of them.